Rav Shach was approached once, and he was asked, "You have so many boys sitting and learning. However, there are so many Jews in Klal Yisrael who are suffering, who are disconnected, who are distant. There has to be an effort on Panovich's behalf to go send boys out, to go try and save these souls." A very valid point. Many used to say, including Chafetz Chaim, that there's a fire out there and we have to put it out. Rav Shach listened to the person and he said, "You know what my boys are doing all day?" The person said, "Yeah, they're sitting and learning." He said, "No, do you know what they're doing?" He said, "Yeah, they're sitting and learning." He said, "Do you know what they're doing?" He said, "You think when my Talmud learns a Rashba in Bava Basra that it doesn't affect Yaron, the not religious Jew on Rehov Yafo? For sure, it has cosmic effects to the highest degree." Now, of course, Rav Shach believed in helping Jews, putting your efforts, doing chesed. There's few bigger Baalei Chesed than Rav Shach that put his efforts into helping other people, from the physical to the spiritual to anything you could imagine, advice. However, Rav Shach was saying over a famous principle from Yisrael Salanter that a person's spiritual actions, and specifically Limud HaTorah, the learning of Hashem's word, has such cosmic effects in the upper world, then ricocheting down in a direct line all the way to our world. It's much bigger than we know. And the people who are learning is unbelievable, and they're in their place. The people who are doing Kiruv are unbelievable, and they're in their place. The people doing other things in their place are unbelievable. Each section of Klal Yisrael and what they're doing in their Avoda. But a person should never minimize, discount, and put down Chas V'Shalom the unbelievable effects in this world that we have from Limud HaTorah, and how much it affects every single person and helps us all, those who are sitting and learning. Unbelievable lesson from Shach, coming from an idea from Yisrael Salanter. There's another story with Rav Shach. Rav Shach once needed a surgery on his toe. He had some kind of toenail issue, and he needed a surgery, and it's a surgery which you can do in your house. So they called the surgeon over to his house, the doctor, and the doctor offered him, "I can give you some medication which will make you woozy, or we can do it without it." Shach knew that the side effects of the medication could affect his thinking abilities for the next couple of hours or even days. So Rav Shach said, like many other gedolim, "I do not want it. I don't want the medication. Please give me the surgery without anything. I'll think in a sugya. And when I'm thinking in the sugya, I'll be so distracted, so removed, so up in those high and holy ideas, I am not going to feel it." So that's what happened. Surgeon got started, he did surgery, they're going on. Rav Shach is in his head, thinking very intensely on the sugya. And someone comes in the room. It was during one of the wars in Eretz Yisrael. And they said, "Did you hear what happened? There was a plane crash. One of the Israeli planes was shot down and soldiers died." Everyone in the room was shocked. Rav Shach came out of his learning trance. And he said, "Wait, what did you say? A plane was shot down?" He said, "Yeah, unfortunately, in the war." He goes, "And Jews passed away? Jews died?" The man said, "Yes." Rav Shach, who until that point in time gave no relevance to what was going on, the pain, he was able to be in another world. He broke down crying. He couldn't stand to hear what had happened. His foot being mangled by a surgeon didn't take him away from his learning, didn't take him away from his thoughts, and he was able to be there. Once he heard another Jew was hurt, died, he broke down crying. He couldn't stand it. His heart was with them. This is such an unbelievable lesson that we have to learn. The ahava, the love, the care, the connection that the Gedolim have and had for the Jewish people was so above and beyond, is so above and beyond. This is one of the greatest lessons that we must learn from the Gedolim. The Chofetz Chaim wrote sefer after sefer, book after book, to try and help Acheinu Kol Beis Yisrael. He felt for their spiritual tzar. He felt for their physical pain. Everything was one with him. Rav Shach heard soldiers passed away, were killed, broke down crying. He couldn't contain himself. The surgery didn't do anything to him. But the removing of a piece of Klal Yisrael from this world broke him. And this is what we have to learn. We have to wake up in the morning and go about our lives with a different scope of view, a different outlook, a different perspective. And that's every single Jewish person is connected to me. And I have to care about them. I have to daven for them. I have to be there for them. I have to learn for them. I have to help all Jews in the best way that I could. And the first place that we start is in the heart. V'ahavta l'reicha kamecha. You have to love your fellow like yourself. So Be'ezus Hashem, we should think about this unbelievable story and strengthen ourselves, gird ourselves with this idea of Avos Yisrael, loving another Jew, and really feel it. And in order to do that, do something small. Look at someone else and find one positive quality. You can take away a layer of negativity. This thing bothers me, I'll let go of that. And if that's not possible, then go try and find something positive in somebody. And with that, we will help bring the Gula. This story is really the whole entire foundation of Parshas Pinchas. Parshas Pinchas is an unbelievable story of a zealot getting up in a very traumatic situation. Klal Yisrael are doing Averis, Arias, Avodah Zarah. They're doing horrible things in public fashion. Moshe Rabbeinu and the Zakenim, they're going back and forth. They're convening. What do we do? How do we stop them? Are we allowed to kill them? Pinchas gets up. He takes his spear and he kills the head of Shevet Shimon Zimri. Very dramatic. Very climactic. First of all, the story of Pinchas. It's a few psukim. And those few psukim seem to be very, very little action. One pasuk in action. Stop dying. Weiter. How many died? The next Parsha Pinchas itself, it gets the kahuna, it's the end of Parsha's Balak. But really, there are worlds here that we have to gain from and understand from and take into our lives. The simple reading of the psukim in Parsha's Pinchas, in Parsha's Balak in the end, leading to Pinchas, are astoundingly difficult. First of all, who was Pinchas? The Torah tells us he was Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen. Pinchas, son of Elazar, son of Aharon HaKohen. We know who Pinchas was, or say he was son of Elazar. What is the specific stress the Torah has here? Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen. Why does it have to go back to his grandfather? Rashi famously says that the tribes came and said to him, "You killed a leader. You killed a leader in Klal Yisrael. You killed the head of Shevet Shimon. What are you doing?" It's because you're a ben puti. It says that Yisroi, who Pinchas ultimately came from, one of his great-grandfathers, was someone who fattened up the cows, like mefatein, fattened them up, and then he brought them to Avodah Zarah. So they were saying to Pinchas, "You're a ben puti. You're a ben puti." So the Torah comes along and tells us, no, he's Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen. Don't ridicule him that he came from Baal Avodah Zarah. Focus on the fact he's the grandson of Aharon HaKohen. This is a beautiful pshat, but it seems to be very, very hard to understand. Rav Tzadok asks that how in the world could the Shevatim say such a thing? They were all the great-grandchildren of Avodah Zarah. Rachel and Leah came from Lavan. Vesuel. All the Imos came from Avodah Zarah. What's going on? How are they going saying, you're from Avodah Zarah? And he could say right back, you're from Avodah Zarah. What exactly was their claim against them? What were they trying to say? Very, very fascinating aspect that Torah tells us about Pinchas in general, that he was the son of Arkain. But besides that, we have the Chazal, which answers it, but it seems to not really explain anything because the Shvatim had the same issue. You go on, in that pasuk really, it's the first word, it says, by Pinchas, Vayar, and he saw. He saw what was happening. And then, Vayar, Pinchas, ben Elazar, ben Arkain. And then it says, he got up, Besaych Eidah. What does that mean, Vayar? How do you read the pasuk? Of course he saw. The pasukim earlier describe how this was a public action what was happening. These avayos were being done in front of everybody. It wasn't a hidden matter. Everybody saw. The Torah does not waste one word, one letter, one space. What here is the Torah doing telling us, Vayar, and he saw? Of course he saw. Everyone saw. It was a public matter. The Torah said that a few psukim earlier. What in the world does the Torah come and say, Vayar? Of course Pinchas saw. You want to say, Pinchas went. Halach Pinchas. Halach Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron. Okay. No, he saw. Rashi says, Vayar, he saw, and then he was hizkir. He remembered the halacha. So say, Vayizkir. Rashi's explaining the words of the Torah that he saw and remembered, but it still leaves room for explanation about what the word Vayar is doing there, because the Torah wanted to describe Vayar, that he saw and he remembered, say Vayizkir. We already knew he was seeing, so that's already a given. He's already seeing it. Everyone's seeing it. So say, Vayizkir ben Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron Kohen. And he remembered, and then he got up and killed him. What's the Torah stressing Vayar? It seems to be something deeper here than just the raw remembrance, the understanding, and acting upon the halach of Kodayim Poygim, of being a zealot for the sake of God. Continue in the Pesukim. It says, Vayar Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. And then it says, Vayakom b'soich ha'eda, that he got up from within the congregation. Similarly, in the beginning of Parshas Pinchas itself, it says, Konoi kinesi b'soicham. You were a zealot and avenged within them. What is this stress of one b'soicham and b'soich ha'eda? Obviously, he was there. Where else would he be? Miriam, we know at one point, unfortunately, had tzaras. She had to go chutz from the camp. She left the camp. That's what a Mitzrayah does. If you have tzaras, if you have leprosy, you got to go outside the camp. But Pinchas was not a leper. Of course, he was an upstanding person. He was Aaron's grandson. Well, of course he was in the camp. Where else would he come from? He was with everyone else. Why in the world does the Torah have to specify this aspect that he was in the camp? Of course, that's where he was physically located. His location on the GPS, on the map, was in Klal Yisrael. That's where he came from. What's the idea that the Torah is stressing? B'soich ha'eda. Similarly, it says that by over there in Parshas Balak, not only was he Pesach Eda by Yakam, it's also a very strange thing, and he got up. Well, obviously, he got up because if he was sitting down, he would have not been able to kill them with a spear or a sword or anything. He had to get up to go to them. What is the Torah stressing that he was Vayakam? He got up from within the Eda. Two different aspects here, that he got up from within the Eda. It seems to be absolutely unclear and puzzling as to what the Torah is trying to tell me. Could have said, Vayizkir, Vahalach, and he went and killed them. What is all these extra words? He saw, instead of he remembered. Vayakam, he got up, instead of he went. Of course he got up. That's what you do. You have to get up in order to go and do something. And then it says, Vayikach roimach biyadoi. And he took a spear in his hand. Yet again, the Torah is adding all these details that he took the spear in his hand. Where else is he supposed to take it? In his feet? And in addition, why do I care what the method he chose was in order to kill them? What do I care about the weaponry? Like, well, do we also have to know if he wore a helmet? And what's the difference whether he took it, Vayikach? He took it. What? Of course he took it. Either he had it or he took it. What's the nafka meaning? What's the difference? What's the relevance? To specify, he took the staff, the roimach, the spear. Just if I would write in the Torah, and thank God I didn't. Baruch Hashem. Hashem wrote the Torah. It's our gift in this world. I would have written, Vayizkir Pinchas Vahalach Vaharag Zimri. He went and killed him. Who cares with what? Obviously, he saw. The Torah has all these extra words. Vayakmi got up. Of course, he got up. He went. He killed him. Like that, all these things would be innate. They would be self-understood. So the Torah doesn't waste a little drop of ink. Obviously, each one of these words is critical to understanding the story. You go on in the Parsha, and what do you see? Right after he kills them, the plague stops. An astounding thing. Why did the plague stop immediately after him killing Zimri. They were all involved in Avodah Zarah. They were all involved in Arias. Pinchas went inside his tent and killed him. How does that cause everybody now to stop doing what they're doing in the Avera, and the plague of people dying due to the Averas being done all of a sudden stopped? What's the math, the mathematica in Hebrew, the addition, the multiplication here? They're doing Averas, he kills the head guy, and then everyone seems to have stopped. He even says Shevet Shimon maybe weren't happy what he did, and there was Nisim that didn't kill him or anything, and then the plague stopped. The plague was due to their Averus. Whoever was dying from the plague was doing the Averus, whoever wasn't. So even if some people were jolted by what happened, again, it seems like Shimon wasn't so happy, the Shevet Shimon. Now everyone just stopped dying, magically, the deaths stop? What's the addition here? What's the storyline? How does the death of Zimri relate in all the plague stopping? The Torah as well tells us that as a result of this, Pinchas got the Brisi Shalom. He got the covenant of peace. He was Zeicher to be Eliyahu Navi, the Midrashim say. He was Eliyahu Navi. He lived a very long time and he became Eliyahu Navi. He comes at every Bris. Bris Shalom. Okay, Brisi Shalom. Beautiful. Helped Klal Yisrael unbelievable ways, Eliyahu Navi. Why does Pinchas have this amazing schus of the Brisi Shalom? He did something that was very not so shalom, seemingly. He killed somebody. He had to do it. But where's the shalom in what he did? Maybe it was unnecessary action. I wouldn't call it a peaceful action. And then he gets the kahuna. He gets the absolute highest privilege a person could have, the opportunity to serve Hashem in the Mishkan. And we know that we're all called Mamleches Kahan Vagai Kadosh. We're called a kingship of priests. That's who we are. And a holy nation. We all know, though, that the priests themselves, the Kahanim themselves, are the top of the top of the top. So now, as a result of his murderous act, which had to be done, now he gets to be a Kohen. A Kohen who killed somebody can't even duchen. So there's a whole question about soldiers and friendly fire, and many big halachic shilas. Fundamentally, a Kohen who goes and kills somebody cannot duchen. So why in the world is Pinchas' schar, his prize, that's what he gets to be a Kohen? He killed somebody and now he gets to be a Kohen. Again, necessary, yes. Unbelievable act, seemingly no. But Hashem says, you did it for me. You stopped the deaths, you stopped the plague. Now you're going to get the covenant of peace and the covenant of priesthood. Very, very puzzling. And this is all connected to in Parshas Pinchas, where Moshe Rabbeinu gives over the leadership. Now, when Moshe Rabbeinu is giving over the leadership, obviously, who should it go to? His sons. They're the people who are by him. They're his kin. Give it over to them. Just like Aaron gives over the priesthood to his sons. Why do we not find that's true? The Midrash tells us, why did Yeshua get it over Moshe Rabbeinu's sons? The Midrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu says, can my kids take on the mantle? They take on the show, they get the kingship. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Banecha yashvu lahem v'loy asku v'toyra. Your children sat and they didn't learn Torah. Yeshua har beishar escha. Yeshua, he was always by you. Hu yamashku mar beveis havad shalcha. He would get up and go around in your base of Adi, be around you. Oh, you would be setting the tables and you'd be making the chairs all nice. And that's why Yeshua is going to get the mantle. He's going to get Klal Yisrael. He's going to be leader. Why? Because he was the bench schlepper. He moved around the benches. It's an unbelievable midrash. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu's kids didn't learn and therefore they can't be it. And it says that Yeshua is going to get the leadership, the mantle of being one of the greatest people in history, because he moved benches around and set tables. What's going on? What does it mean that Moshe Rabbeinu's children didn't learn? And why would Moshe Rabbeinu think that they could be the leader if they really didn't learn? How do we understand that? And what's Yeshua doing, moving around benches and that's his reward? He should have been sitting and learning. What's going on here? Rav Yashiv, Maran Liv Shteinman, asks this question, and it's very, very puzzling. And how is this connected to Pinchas? So, like we mentioned earlier in the shiur, there's one fundamental principle in our lives that Hashem loves when we are connected to other Jews, when we care about other Jews, when we work for other Jews, when we help other Jews. This is our main focus in life. How can we connect Kala Yisrael? How can we help them? How can we lift them up spiritually? Everyone else saw what was going on in the story of the Baal Peor, the horrible acts that were happening. They were delegating. Should we kill them? Are they Chayav Misa? There was one person who had a passion. What was his passion for? For Klal Yisrael. To help them. To lift them up. To be there for them. It says Vayar, and he saw the first word in the Pasuk. Says the Shem Yishmuel, Vayar means a Re'iyah Sichlis. It means he understood something. He understood something very deep. He remembered the halacha, but it wasn't a uncorrelated, see this? Oh, and that reminds me of something else, like happens to be. Oh yeah, there's a halacha about this thing. Is he saw they needed help. The halacha of Kenayim Pagabai is for Kavod Shemayim, and it's to help the person ultimately who's doing the sin. He saw that I can help them. I can see in their hearts and be machzer them to tshuva. I can bring them up. Pinchas saw something that we should see in our lives. That when we see another Jew, we have to see into his heart and see he's a person. He's a neshama. He's my brother. I can lift him up. I can bring him closer. I can become one with this person. That's what Pinchas saw. That's what we all have to see. We have to see another Jew and see beyond his clothing, beyond his face, beyond his hair, beyond what's going on, and see who he is. That's what Pinchas saw. He saw in Shevet Shimon, what's going on? Who are they? Can they be saved? And with that deep understanding, he went to go do this act to help them. The other Shvatim said, you're Ben Puti, you're a son of Yisroi, you're a great-grandson of Yisroi, who served the Avodah Zarah. Who is Yisroi? Yisroi was famously the truth seeker. He went from this Avodah Zarah, that Avodah Zarah, that Avodah Zarah. He was the seeker of truth. In this world, he was the only non-Jew out of all the non-Jews in the world who went and heard about Matan Torah, heard about the Nisim, Ptias Mitzrayim, of Kriyas Yamsuf, Amalek, and he went to the Jewish people because he saw truth and he grabbed on to truth. That's who Yisrael was. So the other nations said, explains Rav Tzadok, they said, of the other tribes, what are you doing, Pinchas? You didn't really do this for like Hashem or for your love for Klal Yisrael. You did it because you're a passionate, fiery person about the truth. And you saw something was wrong, you fixed it. You really, really could have been a higher level. You could have cared more about the person. You didn't care about the person, you cared about the truth. We all know, when someone is bent on the truth, nothing stands in his way. He'll obliterate another person for the sake of the truth and what's right and what's tzedek. That's what they said. You're just fighting after what's tzedek. You didn't care about the people. You didn't care about the person. You didn't want to help anybody. Says the Torah, we're going to tell you who this person was. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen was the Ish Shalom, the person who chased after love, peace, and connection to other Jews. Aaron, who was one of the most great, busy, and holy people in history, a Navi. What was he spending his time doing? Running from this person. Your husband said this to you, but really he meant this. Running to the wife and saying, no. Your wife said this to you. Running back and forth, dealing with Shalom bias issues. It's like, imagine going to the greatest God of all door. You go to them for like the biggest shiloh you could possibly imagine. You say, yeah, I'm having a hard time with my wife. Like, yeah, it's okay. It's nice. Like, you have something bigger? Like, a lot of people have a hard time with their wives. Not only that, imagine the biggest God coming to your house and started, you know, handling you. How's it going? I heard things aren't going so well. You would be floored. You'd have the best shalom bias in your life just from the fact that God came. But these people didn't really floor them because that was day to day. You had a hard time. You had something in marriage that was difficult. Aaron came to your house. This is who Aaron was. He was a Raidiv Shalom. Someone was having a hard day. They did Neveira. Aaron went up to him and said, my Yid, you're such a good guy. And the Rambam says the person will be lifted up and it'll be better. This is who Aaron was. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen. The reason that he went to go do this act to kill them was not out of pure passion, the truth, what's right. It was because he loved Klal Yisrael, because he loved every single Jew and he wanted to help them. He wanted them to do tshuva. He wanted to bring them closer and take them away from what they're doing and take them up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was his goal, to put tshuva in their hearts. It says, Vayakam b'soicha eida, and kinoi kinesi b'soicham. Vayakam stood up. The Gemara in Bracha says that where do we know you stand up during Shemona Esrei? Because of a Yamod Yifalel Pinchas. Pinchas stood up and he davened. So we see that you're supposed to stand up. And every Shemona Esrei from that instance, what does that mean Pinchas did? The Radak says those words that Yifalel over there in the Pasuk, Vayamod Yifalel, we know that that means standing up. We know that it's coming from Pinchas of where it was. David HaMelech knew that because it says in the Psukim, in the Parshas Balak, Vayakam b'soicha ida. So we know, we see that the Gemara learns from Pinchas Vayakam b'soicha ida that he got up and davened. Where did he daven from? What was his understanding? What was the place? We don't even know his geographical location. We need to know where his heart was. His heart was b'soicha ida. His vengeance, his passion came from B'soicham within them. He was representing them, trying to help them, working for the very people that were doing the sin. And what do before you daven? The Arizal says, you're mekabel v'ahavta l'reicha kamoicha. I love every single Jew because davening, the nature of it is that I relinquish myself and I say, Hashem, I'm with you. But if I come as an individual, I lose. If I come with all of Klal Yisrael, Hashem can never turn me away. Hashem's with me. That's what he wants. He wants me to come with Klal Yisrael. The Sefer Chassidim says that if a person davens and doesn't have in mind for all of Klal Yisrael, like, oh, we do in all of our brachas, Hashiveinu Avinu Zarzach, return us all. Every bracha is always going to be with a pluralistic language. He says, if you don't have that mindset, those words, you are not Yoite your tefillah. A person says, you know what, I want to more focus on myself. I need more regesh and more feeling. I'm going to focus the whole Shemoneh Esrei on me. Me, 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 me. And he changes the whole Shemoneh Esrei to Loshen Yachid. He's not Yoite. He is not fulfilled his obligation to daven because he's not daven for others. The Vilna Gaon says it's usher to do such a thing. Sefer HaChassidim says if you do that, you're like an animal. You're like an animal if you don't daven for the people. So Pinchas, when he got to daven, what was he doing? He was b'soicha eida. He was davening for all of them to do tshuva, to come closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That was his goal. That's what he accomplished. Vayikach roimach biyadoi. He took a roimach in his hand. When something's in your hands, it's a lot more than the physical. It's something that you're carrying. It's something that's with you. Something that you're able to live with. It says, Chavetz Chaim had emuna, not in his heart, in his hands. In his hands, because it was real. That's how we lived. He took, like we find by Bilam, by Koyrach, that it says, he took Eitzet himself. What was the Eitzet? He took Roimach. Says the Al-Sheikh, it's referring to Avram Avinu, because Roimach is Gematria Avraham. He took the Schus of us. He took the power of the Avos. He took the vigor of the Avos, which was Chesed. Avraham Avinu was chesed. And what specifically did Avraham Avinu do? He davened for the Rishayim of Sodom. The Sodom had the worst people. Avraham davened for them. You think his feels were they should keep on living like Rishayim? He was davening they should live. And Rishayim b'chayim kru amesim. That a Rosh who is alive is called dead. Avraham wasn't dying, davening for them to be dead. Avraham was davening for them to live. Live true life, a life of connectivity, a life of spirituality, a life of oneness. That's what Avram Avinu was davening for. So too, Pinchas took the koyach of Avram b'yadoi. It became real to him. He internalized it and still didn't live with it and said, Hashem, please, please, please help these people. Please help Zimri. Please help Shevet Shimon. Please help Klal Yisrael. And Tzadik explains when he went there, one of the nisim was, but they didn't call out. They didn't say anything. They were silent. And that Shevet Shimon didn't attack him because he instilled tshuva in their heart. They were willing to accept, explains Rav Tzadok, their punishment of death so they could get a kapara. Because in that action, right there in that split second, they felt this oirus, the feeling to come closer to Hashem, and they let themselves be killed. They could have turned around. Zimri could have turned around and stopped him. But he chose not to. He surrendered because Pinchas, with his tefillas, with his care, with his love, with his actions, with his roimach, with his Avraham Avinu, with his chesed, with his haftar yichamoycha, Pinchas instilled tshuva in every one of their hearts. Hiruri tshuva, they came back. They wanted to be closer. So they got their kapara. Shevet Shimon got their kapara. And the plague stopped because the sin stopped. Because Pinchas' unbelievable power of truth. And truth is connecting to every Jew. Truth is loving every Jew. Truth is removing me out of the picture and saying, I'll do anything for you. That's truth. This is what we have to strive for. This is what we have to live for truth. For a passion. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is loving his children. Making him happy. Making peace in the world. This is what Pinchas did. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen went and saved them all. So the plague stopped. Hashem said, you're going to get the Brishi Shalom. You made peace because you instilled tshuva in everyone. With your care, with your Riyah Sichlis, your mindful seeing, which was deeper than the physical, seeing beyond the person, seeing into who he is, and never giving up on another Jew, you're bringing peace in the world. And you're going to continue bringing peace and helping Jews for all of history. You did something above and beyond. And then, when the plague stops, he gets this, and he gets the kahuna. The whole idea of the kahuna is giving kapara to Klal Yisrael, giving mitzvahs to Klal Yisrael, giving passion to Klal Yisrael. The big day kahuna, the clothing of the kohen, atone for Klal Yisrael, atone for the Jewish people. The whole entire essence of a kohen is ish chesed. That's who he is, that's who Aaron was, that's who every single kohen was. Pinchas did the action which crystallized his feeling, his passion, his care for other Jews. It brought him out into the world in the most powerful way. He had to be a kohen now. It's an unbelievable lesson that we have to take, that we have to bring out our passion for other Jews. We have to live the passion of others. We have to give to other Jews. We have to care about their physical and spiritual needs and not just care, act upon it, go and do something. Whether it's going to be learning an extra blot Gemara, an extra Rashi, an extra Tosafot for the sake of other Jews. So we're going out and trying to help them physically, emotionally, spiritually. You have to have other Jews in mind. And this, explains Rabbi Yashiv, is the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu's sons and Yehoshua. Moshe Rabbeinu's sons, says they sat and they didn't learn. Rabbi Yashiv explains, it doesn't mean they didn't learn. It means they didn't learn for other people. It means their intentions was not to go and help someone else with their learning. Like the Midrash says, Kol halilmod v'loi al menas lamed. If you learn and you're not going to use that to teach, Ein hevel gadol mizu. There was no greater waste of time. Now that could mean you turn to your chavrusa, you turn to someone in the Beis Medrash, but it has to be that your Torah is a Torah chesed, a Torah that's not for you, for others, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is for others. And the Torah, him and the Torah are one. The nature of the Torah is to go and help other people. So I could sit in my seat, but have intentions that this is Masaki in the world, Masaki in other Yidden, helping them come to tshuva. That has to be in my mind. Moshe Rabbeinu's children, says Rabbi Yashiv, didn't have that. Yeshua, what was his asek? What was his learning? What was his life setting up the Beis Medrash for other people? Thinking, I have to make sure other people are growing. That was in setting up the benches, and that was symbolic of all his learning, all Shemesh, all his serving Moshe Rabbeinu, was all about helping, all about caring, all about growing other Jews, bringing them up. This is our parsha in a nutshell. This is what we have to live as Jews. So today, look at another Jew. Feel for another Jew. When you learn, don't just learn for the unbelievable dveikus and the amazing intellectual exercises. Don't just learn to get a nice parsha part. Learn to help someone else. Try to expand yourself beyond yourself. When you see another yid, try and peel away a layer of negativity. Try and inject a layer of positivity. Everything we're doing before you daven today, try. Do any of these things. Try it if you're about to learn. Try about to daven, saying, I love other Jews and I want to help other Jews. We should be zeicha with this. To inject in other Jews the tshuva, inject in other Jews' life, and help all yidden around us.